You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080. We're streaming online at kymnradio.net. Joining us today by phone this morning is our state senator for District 20, Rich Dreheim. Senator, thank you so much for taking a few minutes and being with us today. How are you today?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for having me, and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you as well. You know, it's been a month or two, a couple of months since we've talked to you last. Since then, really last week, the government forecasters are predicting now a budget surplus, and not only just a surplus, but a very large surplus, $7.7 billion or something in that neighborhood. So we invited you on to talk about that. First of all, let's just talk about, was that a surprise to you, you know, coming off COVID, we've seen the economy rebound, but we've got federal dollars in with last year's budget or this year's budget, and it's a little bit confusing, I think, for probably the average citizen, and maybe for some people at St. Paul as well. What were your initial thoughts on that?
You know, my prediction was that we'd have between $7 and $8 billion in projected surplus, and we were right on that. You know, we had so much federal money come in, and then with the inflation adding to the cost of everything, we collect taxes on that little extra. So if you have the highest inflation you've had in 30 or 40 years, you know, you start adding 6-7% on to pretty much everything you're purchasing, that's more tax revenue. So, you know, I was thinking, but we got billions and billions and billions in from the federal government under quote-unquote COVID. So we knew we'd have a surplus. The other thing that I think most people aren't aware of, there was a case a few years ago about online purchases being taxed. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yes,
and
I do.
With the increase in online purchasing, you have more and more tax revenue coming from the online purchases.
All right. Now, where does that leave us? I mean, heading into the new year, has the Republican Party, I would imagine there a lot of people want a lot of different things with that, but are you coming to a consensus within your party of what to do with that?
Consensus? I don't know about that. I think most of us believe, you know, that hardworking families, especially the young families starting out, really could use that money, and you know the best thing to do would be to give it back. We've had year after year after year for over a decade of increased spending in state government. Budget cycle wise, we're averaging what 5-7% every budget cycle increase in spending, and we still continue to have a surplus after surplus after surplus. The majority of our reserve accounts are overflowing. The only one that isn't is probably the unemployment account that was hit really hard last year and a half with the people getting paid, you know, $300 to $600 a week, depending on what time frame it was, to stay home, plus their normal unemployment. And now we've flipped that. And now we're hearing of people, I've had multiple people in the district call me frustrated that they got fired because they decided it wasn't in their best interest to get a vaccination. So they got fired from their job, and now they're being turned down for unemployment insurance. So we've done a 180 on that. But that account, and we can debate all that stuff all day long, but that account is in the hole for about $1.2 billion. So that's about the only account that is kind of negative. Everything else is pretty flush with cash.
We're talking once again with State Senator Rich Dreheim. Senator, you touched on inflation, and I'm not sure what the numbers are in Minnesota specifically, but I think around the nation, nationwide, it's about 6.5%, between 6.5% and 7%, somewhere in that range. As you alluded to, we haven't seen those numbers since, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, you know, at the end of the Carter administration and the beginning of the Reagan administration. Big numbers. Can we do anything on a state level, or can you do anything on a state level to help ease that? Are the economic pressures so broad that, you know, it has to be done on more of a national scene?
You know, I thank you for bringing that up. Yes, on a national scene, in my opinion, there is, I don't think, a lot of short-term solutions. There are long-term solutions. You know, what we do with our policy affects supply and demand, and that, of course, reflects in the general economy and in inflation. But energy prices are probably the most alarming to me, you know, because if you're a young family just starting out, maybe have a little college debt, maybe a car payment, trying to pay either rent or save for a mortgage, and then you have a 20% to 60% increase in either energy prices. I think electric's going up 20% and natural gas is going up 60%. You know, that's hard for a young family to budget for. You know, that doesn't have reserves. And that's very alarming to me. And, you know, it was a couple of years ago we were told we had, 500 years of natural gas available. And now all of a sudden natural gas is going through the roof. And you can't really blame the supply chain on that, because that is a domestic product that we have abundance of right here in the United States. But I think overall, this is just a good lesson for everybody with the supply chain issues that we're having, is that we probably need to be more self-reliant as a country. And manufacture more here and support local manufacturers here in the United States than overseas. And I'm sure all of us have seen the pictures of all the cargo ships waiting out in the ports, waiting to get unloaded. But it's I never thought in my lifetime I would see shelves at Walmart or at the Hy-Vee empty like I have this last year.
Yeah, it has been an interesting year that way. You mentioned energy, and I want to delve into that and ask you something. I'm not sure if this is even true or if there's anything you can do about it. But I've heard people talking quite a bit about last year, Texas had a terrible winter storm that knocked out the complete energy infrastructure in the state, basically. They had not been tied in with the electric grid across America that, you know, we have basically two large electric grids, one east and one west, and then Texas had their own. I've heard people saying, hey, we're paying for this. The people of Minnesota are paying for this, and not the people from Texas. Do you know, is that the case, and is there anything that we can do to not pay for Texas's mistakes?
You know, I think that's a complicated answer. You know, we have, there's a really good app that I have on my phone that kind of goes through energy prices all over the country, and what people are paying for energy. I believe it's called MISO, M-I-S-O. It's an app you can download, and it shows what energy prices are all over the country. I'm sure in an indirect way we are paying for that a little bit, but it just really puts a spotlight on a balanced energy grid, and I hope someday we can rely more on renewables, but we need that what we call baseload power. You know, in Minnesota, we rely a lot on nuclear, and then coal. And then there's a couple different kinds of coal. There's clean burning, low carbon plants. And then, of course, we have natural gas plants. And then we have some solar and wind. Tidal is something that I think will really take off here in the next decade, especially for the coastal areas. I think that is something that will really take off and really help the energy on the coast and maybe up in Duluth. But it'll be interesting to watch.
All right. Senator Dreheim is with us. A couple other things that we wanted to talk about are housing and jobs. I guess let's start off with housing. You are on the housing committee up in the Senate. What will be the headlines this year, I guess, with that?
Well, we had a hearing this last week, and, we touched on the eviction moratorium. And where that's going, and it looks like we're going to finally run out of money in that pot of federal funds that came in. So it'll be interesting to see how the agency kind of has an off ramp on that. And then we looked at the housing infrastructure bonds that we had for the first time ever. We had a new use for them, and that's single family homes. If the goal is to get everybody on a pathway to home ownership, why aren't we doing more for single family homes? And what can we do to make at least a portion of the single family homes affordable? Because the construction costs are through the roof right now. And I'm sitting here watching a construction project right now as we're talking. But We set aside, I think, $28 million, $30 million for single-family homes, and the agency hasn't even started a program for them yet. And that's concerning, because if that's our goal, why aren't we spending some of our resources, not all, but some, towards that end goal? There was just an article in the Metro of the latest project funded by the state for affordable apartments. And this is average price. It's $400,000 per unit, not per building, per apartment unit. $400,000.
Wow.
And I don't know where you live, Jeff, but I think $400,000 in Northfield buys a pretty darn nice house.
Yes, it
does. So What are we doing with our resources, and what is the end goal is kind of what I look at. But as far as what will the session bring, I think the main thing will probably be reform, something that I have pushed the 5 years I've been up there. We could do things better. Housing is such an important piece for the families, and there's a whole wide range from homelessness up to home ownership and everything in between, and they're all important. But there are a lot of things that we do as a state or the local communities do that affect the price of housing. So for every $1,000 we add in red tape or new codes, building codes, we eliminate 3,000 or 4,000 Minnesotans from affording that home. If we're adding 10,000 or 30,000 to the cost of that, that eliminates a lot of people. And every year that adds up. So we need to unpack that a little bit, and that's what we've been trying to do. We finally have the Democrats in the House excited about reform, and Representative Elkins has a bill that he's proposing that takes a lot of my ideas that I've tried to get done the last few years. So I think that'll be the main energy in the housing area is his bill, and how do we accomplish some of the goals.
All right. Senator Dreheim, we're just about out of time, but I want to ask you about jobs. Now, you're a small businessman. I'm sure you've talked to a lot of business people. It seems like everybody is looking for employees looking to hire. You know, we're at a time, an election year coming up, where normally that it would be about job creation and getting new jobs. Right now, we just need to fill the jobs that we have. You know, what is going to be the focus? What do you think the focus will be this year on the job situation?
You know, the job, we have about 200,000 open jobs in Minnesota. 200,000. It is just really surprising that with the wages increasing, we still have that many open jobs. So we need to motivate people to go back to work. And you know, when you look at the unemployment numbers, they really don't show the whole picture. A couple of years ago, I had a bill that I wanted them to publish the workforce participation rate with the unemployment rate. Workforce participation rate is the percentage of people that are working. And that's probably the more important number to look at, because the unemployment number just reflects the people actively looking for a job. So Hennepin County has a real low unemployment rate, but when you look at the workforce participation rate and factor that in, you know, the reports show that their unemployment rate is really like 22 and change percent of the people not working. So what can we do to motivate people? Back in 17, we had a bill that would require people to work, go to school, or volunteer 30 hours a week to get entitlements. And I think that's something we should revisit. And we had a carve out for mental health and for physical health. So there was opt-outs, if you will, out of that. I truly believe that, you know, God put us all here for a reason, and we all could be productive members of society, and there is a plan for all of us. All jobs are honorable, and we just need to encourage everybody to find the right path and enjoy what they do.
All right. Senator, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes and being with us today. Certainly appreciate it. Have a happy holiday season, a very Merry Christmas, a great New Year, and we'll probably talk to you sometime before the next legislative session begins.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
State Senator Rich Dreheim. He's going to be a regular visitor here on KYMN Radio during the legislative session, which is scheduled to begin on January the 31st.